What is it with you two? You with that red lipstick. And you, what is it with you? Every day, more oil, more grease. Why?
Hey, why do you think they call me Slick?
Hey, don't make me get up.
I think it looks cool.
Thanks, sis. Back at you.
Oh, you look so good. You could do an ad for one of those hair creams. I think I got the slogan. Yeah. Don't lick it, slick it.
Hey, Ma, that's raging.
Yeah, we're talking beer commercial quality here. Yeah,
well, I guess I just have a knack for these things, don't I, honey?
Yeah, you got a knack for a lot of things. Like breakfast. Where is it?
It's coming. Oh!
Hi, welcome back to another episode of...
Hey, oh. Oh, hey. I don't know, I wanted to get real...
You're real angry.
Real Brooklyn with it. Yeah, I don't know.
The Who's the Boss podcast. I'm Tori.
I'm Kevin.
And we are here to rewatch and discuss every single episode of Who's the Boss. When I picked this clip, I thought, how funny would it be if like someone stumbled across this podcast and... this was the very first episode they ever listened to, and they heard that clip, because they would be very confused as to what the hell is going on in that clip.
Yeah, I know.
Because the kids are all different, and Angela's not Angela, and Tony's yelling, and it's funny. The episode we're going to cover tonight is called In Your Dreams. It's season 6, episode 3. It first aired on Tuesday, October 3rd, 1989. We are so close to getting out of 1989.
I know. I feel like we're never going to.
I know. It's this time warp. I don't know what's happening. The TV Guide summary says, after meeting some of Tony's married friends, Angela dreams of life with Tony. Oh, and there's more. With Tony, barefoot and pregnant in Brooklyn.
Okay. Who dreams of that?
No one.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was more of a nightmare. She seemed pretty relieved when she...
I know.
There
I
were
know.
Cute parts of it, though.
No. Yeah. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
All right, I got emotional blackmails suckers Tony into house sitting for Mrs. Rossini and her cat. There's a cat crying. Oh no, what is he doing?
As soon as he you said cat, he meowed, and now he's looking at the TV. Okay, it's fine. Keep going.
What was the cat's name? Fiorello.
Yeah.
Fiorello. All right, so it's spelled right here. Anyway. Ms. Rossini and her cat Fiorello during a heat wave in Brooklyn during her mini cruise. Tony enjoys catching up with his noisy blue-collar mates, especially Dennis and his ever-pregnant wife. Angela, I'm not done yet. Angela pays Tony a surprise visit and has a nightmare about leading such a housewife life without prospects.
Oh, see, they say it's a nightmare. Good. Okay.
Well, there's no prospects.
Because she couldn't go to school.
No, I know. We'll see. You'll see.
So this episode was written by Daniel Palladino, and we've mentioned him before. He came on later in the series. He'll stay with him, I think, through the end. And he's also the creator of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which I believe he created with his wife.
Oh, yeah. I think I...
But as far as I can tell, she never worked on Who's the Boss, or at least not yet.
Oh, gotcha.
When this episode starts, Tony's come out of the kitchen because dinner's ready, and he's yelling for everyone that dinner's ready.
Right.
But no one's listening to him. So he's like, all right, well, then you're going to get the song. And then he starts singing some ridiculous song about pasta. And
right. There's pasta in there and angel hair. And I don't know.
And the kids come down and they're like, okay, stop. Mona comes out. Of course Mona's having dinner with them.
Right. I don't know why she's complaining.
Right. It's free. Then Mrs. Rossini comes down the stairs. So we didn't know that she was there. And she's holding a piece of luggage. And she remembers this song. I guess it's something they used to sing in Brooklyn. So she joins in with linguine and meatballs and marinara sauce.
Sounds good.
And it goes on and on. So Mrs. Rossini is there because she is borrowing luggage from Angela. So she comes. So I was very confused when we watched this
the first time. I was too.
Because in my mind, Mrs. Rossini was leaving right now. Like she had all of her bags packed. Because then Angela comes down the stairs with like two more suitcases and another duffel. And this is so Angela in the 80s. That like tapestry kind of matching luggage.
I know, because it's not quite that like the luggage from the '70s or no. early with the handle. You right. know what I mean? The hard plastic. The
hard plastic. But now we've it's gone drifted back to into hard this plastic. Like,
yes, but not like the one different. Where you carry with the two locks.
Yeah, avocado color. You
have
color.
To carry it and doesn't have wheels or anything.
It matches your refrigerator from the 70s.
Exactly. That would still be working.
Yes, it'll outlive your entire family.
Yeah, that's right.
I think this jumper that she's wearing, too, is also one we've seen before from one of their vacation. I think it's even from like season 3 when she goes on vacation and then gets fired. And I only remember it because it was also photographed and it's like a really famous photo of Angela.
No, I see.
But it looks like the same one. So yeah, so I'm thinking that Mrs. Rossini's leaving now, but she just came to borrow the luggage. So now she's going back home to Brooklyn and then she's going to get ready to go on her trip.
She came all the way to Connecticut to borrow luggage.
Yeah, okay. I guess so. She must not have
Which I'm surprised she didn't make Tony drive all the way to Brooklyn.
Yeah, good point. So right before Mrs. Rossini goes to leave, she's like, oh, there's one more thing. Could you do me a little favor and house sit for me? And see, again, when I originally thought she was like going to get in a cab to go to the airport or wherever she's going, I was like, you would wait till now to ask someone to house sit for you and feed your cat?
But even still.
Even still, it kind of doesn't make sense that she's just like throwing this on Tony right now. Can you please house sit for me and feed my cat, Fiorello, who also needs hairball medicine? And Tony's like, I don't want to. And she's like, all right, fine. Well, here, take this piece of paper. This is how I want to have Fiorello buried.
I know, immediately.
So. When he chokes on a hairball.
And she always does this to him.
Yeah.
To Tony. Makes him feel guilty, and she goes into the crying, and with the freaking fish store, she did it.
Yeah. I'm telling you, there are two things that have really opened my, maybe more than two, but that I've really realized watching this show as an adult. One is that Mona is a terrible person.
Yes.
And Mrs. Rossini is toxic also.
I know, she is.
Why? She's always guilting Tony into doing things and like using their friendship to take more than she really should. And of course, Tony doesn't want to do it, but now that she's crying and he's like, please don't use the dead pet guilt.
Dead pet guilt.
And he says, okay, fine, fine, I will watch him. So she's all excited now. It is odd, though, because you would think that Tony would want a reason to go to Brooklyn for the weekend and kind of get a weekend off from here.
I would.
Yeah, no kids.
Yeah, I want to go to Brooklyn for the weekend.
But I don't think I realize that Miss Rossini doesn't have air conditioning, which sounds horrible. But now I wonder, do you think that they have air conditioning in Connecticut?
In Angela's house?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so.
See, now, I would think so. But I think we're thinking of it through we lived in Florida and now we live in California, because I remember going to visit my aunt when I was probably like 12, 13, and she lived in Connecticut in a really nice house. And the only air conditioning unit was in my cousin AJ's bedroom for the entire house.
Why?
I don't know. I think you just didn't have air. I don't know if it's still like that. But I remember hiding in AJ's room because I was so hot and the air conditioning was in there during like some barbecue.
I'm going to look for air vents next time.
That is a good
we're
point.
We're looking in the living room.
Although it is a set, so.
I know.
So but I think, is that a smoke detector in Mr. Rossini's apartment?
Yeah, probably. That's she doesn't want to burn down.
Well, that's some good set dressing. I like that. So he gets to Brooklyn and he goes inside and it's very hot and she doesn't have air conditioning. So I guess there's a heat wave going on in Brooklyn. And she's left a note for him to, like, tell him all the things that he needs to do for the cat. So as he's reading it, you kind of hear her voice over it as he's reading the note. And she points out, you know, oh, sorry, it's a perfect weekend, even though this heat wave. And he's like, oh, he's dying. He's fanning himself with a letter. So he goes over to the window and he opens it. And then as he's reading the letter, she's like, but please don't open the window because Fiorello will get out.
Mm.
And that is what they call foreshadowing.
Yes. Yeah, that yes.
So now the antenna TV version of this episode skips a lot of stuff. And the first thing they skip is this whole part where Tony or Mona calls Tony now at Mrs. Rossini's apartment.
Yeah, it did skip this part, yeah.
Mona calls from Connecticut. I guess she has Mrs. Rossini's number. It's probably on a little post-it note right. next it's to on, the phone.
Yeah, it's in the kitchen, posted up somewhere. Yeah, just like all in the 80s.
In a Rolodex.
Everything was around. Numbers were just written random places.
Yeah, because I know, man, that's crazy now to think. Like, I don't know anyone's actual number. Like, if it's not programmed in my phone. That, I mean, yes, okay, I know your actual number. But I don't even know our kids' phone numbers. And, like, my mother?
No.
Maybe I should write those down somewhere.
Our kids know our numbers.
Yeah, they do. But that's only because we trained them when they were young in case they ever got lost.
That's true.
Yeah. Now they don't need it, though, anymore. So Mona calls Tony, and she's like, is it hot enough for you? And he's like, yeah, yeah, huh, I get it. It's hot. So it must be much hotter in Brooklyn than it is in Connecticut. Or they have air conditioning.
Yes.
Yes, okay. And he's like, yeah, yeah, it's hot, but I'm going to call Tiny, and we're going to go cool off. And she's like, oh, no, you're not, because Tiny just called me, and he and Vinny, or they call the house, and he and Vinny are in Atlantic City, and they wanted to see if you wanted to go.
Oh, sounds so much better.
Than Mrs. Rosini's apartment in Brooklyn.
You could still go, you know?
No, they're there for the weekend.
Oh, yeah, true.
And he's got a house sit and feed. He doesn't want Fiorella to choke on her. What did she just call her?
Fiorello. What is it? Fiorello.
To choke on her hairballs.
Well,
and he's like, oh, that's true, the man. Medicine. But now, I don't recognize the name Vinny. We know Philly Fingers. We know Tiny.
Right. Yeah.
We know Pee Wee.
Yeah.
We know Joey Rosini, which apparently he's gone because he wasn't able to house sit for his mom. That would have been funny if Joey Rosini was in Atlantic City, and that's why he wasn't house-sitting for his mom.
No, I think they just killed him off.
And then we know the cute guy that slept with Angela's friend, whose name, Eddie, I think was his name.
Oh, but Eddie, yeah.
Vinny seems like you'd think they would just reuse names, but no, new name. And Mona says, and even, to even make this worse on Tony, she says, they have three girls with them, and one of them was for you. And he's like, oh.
No, arranged ladies.
Yeah, apparently found some triplets, and one was for Tony, or just some friends. Now, if you look in that scene right before, and you actually pointed this out when we watched it, right before Tony gets off the phone, the cat meows really loud, like a big meow, but there's no sound.
Yeah, they cut the sound.
I know, it would have been really cute if they kept it in, because he's kind of like going, oh, yeah. And then just like our cat meowed on command, that cat would have meowed on command. So now this is also cut out of the antenna TV version, which I feel is important. Angela comes downstairs, and Mona says that she was just talking to Tony, trying to cheer him up, but she's saying that ironically, because really she just made him feel much worse. And Angela's like, why does he need cheering up? He loves going to Brooklyn. She's like, oh no, because this time all of his friends are not in Brooklyn when he's there. And Angela's like, oh, well, if he's all by himself, then maybe I should go visit him.
Mm.
Yeah.
See, yeah, I mean, maybe Angela was thinking of throwing it down on Mrs. Rosini's couch.
She could put, I'm sure Mrs. Rosini has that plastic they could put down first. Yeah, just to make sure they don't. I know, but I think it is really cute that Angela was thinking, oh, well, maybe I'll go hang out with him if he's all by himself.
I know, but why is it always like, Angela gets these ideas in her head, and then they're always ruined. It's never.
I know.
Like, I mean, maybe I'm being a little dramatic about this episode, but like when she went on the baseball trip with him, she was so excited the whole weekend, yeah. And it was just ruined.
It was, yes.
And like I feel like every time something happens like this is always a curveball.
I know, because how else are they going to stretch this out for so much longer?
I know, I'm just.
Yeah, I know.
Trying to pretend like that it's not the eighth season when.
I will say that I am starting to have this will they, won't they exhaustion. Like, it is.
Which you probably had in real time back in 1989.
Right. And you still hung on. But I mean, yeah, I mean, that's why people lose interest in shows, I think, when they drag it out this long. And I'm sure, and we know for a fact that Who's the Boss's ratings went down severely towards the end. Whether or not it was all because of the will they won't they kind of exhaustion or just
was played out.
The yeah.
Kids got older. Yeah. Whatever.
So I feel like now shows do a better job of doing less, but actually giving you more.
Okay.
At least cable shows. Like I feel like they are better at like condensing a certain amount of seasons and then actually having an ending as if instead of just petering out because nobody cares anymore. But yeah, so the same with this, like you think, oh, she's going to go spend time with him, but it kind of gets all mucked up.
Right.
But at least Tony doesn't cause it this time.
No.
And it is cute. We get some fantastically cute scenes.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong, but I just don't think that's what Angela had in mind.
No. And so Mona's like, oh, well, you want to go spend time with Tony alone in Brooklyn. And Angela's like, oh, mother, there's more to life than just sex. And she goes upstairs. And Mona says, well, then you're doing it wrong.
Nope. Leave it to Mona.
Yep. And this is that joke there is going to come back to us later.
Right, which is why they shouldn't have cut it out in the antenna TV version.
Yes, absolutely, because it doesn't, it's not as funny when you see it when Mona hasn't said it in the beginning of the episode. Okay, so now back in Brooklyn, Tony's outside on the fire escape, and he's just like watering the plants, and he's talking to Fiorello, who's hanging out by the window, because Fiorello wants to go out, but she knows she's not allowed to. And then some guy starts yelling at Tony for being loud up there. And wouldn't this guy just assume that it's either Mrs. Rossini or one of Mrs. Rossini's relatives? Like, he just starts yelling at him like it's some guy on the street.
Yeah, I know. Well, it is Brooklyn.
It is Brooklyn. Yeah. And so Tony's like, oh, wait, Dennis? So they know each other. Dennis is very excited to see Tony. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll be right up. So Dennis comes running upstairs. They hug.
He came up in record time.
He did. This actor... Oh, where'd my sheet go?
Oh, I just had this information.
Louis Mastillo, or Mastillo, because I probably am not saying that correctly. He plays Dennis. And Kevin, tell us what you know him from.
I know him from Seinfeld. He was Pete in Seinfeld. He's the one where Jerry doesn't let him in the building, closes the door in his face, and they end up killing his parrot.
We actually watched this episode the Seinfeld episode last night after we watched this episode.
But it's funny. It's one of those where sometimes I see him and I don't know. I just knew immediately who this was.
Yeah.
Like I knew it was Pete. I didn't know it was whatever his real name is.
And he still looked good on Seinfeld. I'm trying to think of how many years later
Seinfeld not much. Was.
Oh, really?
Maybe.
Oh, because he does have like much years, darker years. Hair. And like, I guess because he has like hair, more facial hair. He looked different.
Maybe 8 years later. After, because this is 89.
Oh, right. And that was 98. Yeah, absolutely. So it's like, okay. And now.
But I will tell this fun little fact that you probably, you know how close in age these two are?
Oh, Tony and Dennis?
Yeah.
I don't. How close?
Dennis is 7 years younger than Tony.
Really?
Yeah, I figured you'd get a kick out of that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I would not have guessed that.
I wouldn't have either.
Not to say anything about Dennis, but...
No.
Yeah, I just would not have guessed that. He was also in a few episodes of The Sopranos. I feel like this poor guy got typecast as an Italian for sure.
Yeah, go back. I bet you. I think I remember him in The Sopranos, too.
Sal Vitro.
Mm. I mean, I think I remember him in The Sopranos. Yeah, typecast for sure.
Young and the Restless on Mike and Molly. You used to watch that, I think, right?
No.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
Thanks for paying attention.
I'm getting that confused with another CBS show where there's a woman who's way out of a man's league. isn't that like the CBS formula?
Yeah. Yes.
Kevin James and then Leah Remini. Okay.
Yes.
So Dennis comes in. They're catching up and... He's like, oh, are you still with Ginger? And he's like, oh, yeah, of course. So he's like, oh, let's call her up. And he just yells out the door for Ginger to come.
Everybody's yelling.
Right. Ginger comes upstairs, and she is very pregnant. And this actress, you would probably know best as Wolowitz's mom.
Who you never see.
The Big Bang Theory, yes. You don't actually see her, but you hear her voice. Oh, shoot, I lost my page here.
Yeah, her name. She's in a lot of stuff.
Carol Ann Sussey.
Something like that.
Yes. And unfortunately, she passed away in 2014, I believe, because I remember.
Yeah, it was.
At the age of 62. Very young.
Cancer.
But yeah, so she was Debbie Wolowitz. Let me see what else here. Yeah, lots of stuff. Mad About You, Different World. Oh, also on Seinfeld.
Yes, yes, I remember her from Seinfeld.
But it says credit only. What does that mean?
I don't know, but... She's in the actual episode. Okay. George has to take her out on a date.
Oh, okay.
Because she's the daughter of the lady at the unemployment office. Okay. So he sees the picture of her and he's like, do not tell me that's your daughter or whatever.
Oh,
but he ends up taking her out on a date and it's like a miserable date.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
It's probably miserable for her too because it was George. Yes. Growing Pains. It looks like the soap Generations.
Seinfeld. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I don't think that one was on for Becker. Very long. Sabrina, sure, the Teenage Witch.
I felt like she was on Seinfeld, but I mean, Simpsons, but I guess not.
I don't like see that now. Oh, she was in an episode of Ugly Betty. Yeah. We watched almost
King
all
of the Queen.
That.
She's in King of Queens.
Oh yeah. Hmm. So she comes in and they start, you know, chatting, reminiscing. They haven't seen Tony in a while, and Tony says, "All right, well, let's go bowling." And get some veal cutlets because
it's what you do when you go bowling.
Yeah. And he probably just said something he can get in Brooklyn that he can't really get anywhere else. So Ginger says, oh, okay, well, hang on. Let's also call my sister-in-law because her husband's out of town and she'd probably really like to go with us. So he's like, oh, what's her number? And then they just yell out the door.
Right. Once again.
Yeah. So we have kind of a dissolve where we see time has passed. And Tony and Dennis are now dancing with Ginger and her sister-in-law, whose name is Lynn, who is also very pregnant. So two, and it's just like ridiculously pregnant.
I know. Fake bellies. Like tremendous.
Yeah. It's like, looks like each of them are having triplets. And so they're dancing, they're having a good time. And then the front door opens. Just come on in, Angela. Don't knock. It's fine. You don't live here.
Maybe she heard the music going.
Maybe. She figured there was a party. And she comes in and she's holding a little picnic basket, which is really cute.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
She was looking for romance.
Right. Yeah,
she came here with an
agenda. Expectations are high and she came in two pregnant women. And Paul, what is it?
Dennis. She's very confused too. She's like, what kind of party did I just walk in on? So they're like, oh, he's like, oh, this is Angela. He introduces them to her. And she's like, oh, have you guys not seen Tony in a while? And Dennis says, no, we haven't seen him since he moved to Connecticut to work for some uptight career lady. And Tony's like, hey, Dennis, this is the uptight career lady. No,
Dennis put his foot right into his mouth.
Did. But Angela doesn't take offense. She goes with it. She knows how it is. So they sit her down and they start asking her some questions like, what do you do for a living? And she says she runs an advertising agency. And when they hear that, they're very excited. Like, oh, do you do the beer commercials? No. Do you know the Doublemint twins? No. But then Tony says, well, she did work with the California Raisins. That was very big back in the 80s.
Yeah, it was a huge ad.
Huge campaign. And he says she knew them when they were just grapes.
Mm-wah-wah.
So then Lynn stands up and she's like, I hate to stall this here, but I have to eat every couple hours because I'm eating for three. So she says that she's having twins. Mm. And Tony's like, oh, that's so cute. He's like, I always wanted to have twins. And Angela looks at him and she's like, I never knew that. And he's like, oh yeah, I would have loved to have a little Sammy to go with my Samantha. Dennis tells him, well, just find yourself a lady and start making some babies.
Yep.
And then Tony and Angela have a very awkward look where he looks at her and she kind of looks up at him and then she looks away and he looks away.
Right, always got to be awkward. Yeah, always.
Got to amp up the tension. So Tony's like, okay, forget. Let's stop talking about that and let's go bowling and get some veal cutlets. And
where do you just, they have prepared veal cutlets?
At the bowling alley, yeah. I guess
they
so.
They serve veal at the bowling alley. Okay.
Well,
what kind of bowling alley is this?
I have a feeling that veal's probably more common in heavily Italian areas. So I guess it's almost as easy as getting like a meatball sub, maybe. So yeah. I guess if this bowling alley is near or has some sort of
I'll
Italian
buy it.
Style sub shop, he knows he's going to be able That's to get true. It. They ask Angela how that sounds, and she says that sounds a bit heavy. Come on, Angela. We know you eat. Episode that all of a sudden, yeah, she's worried about having cheese on her veal cutlet sandwich instead of tofu. So,
well, maybe the cheese wouldn't fare well if there was going to be action later, you know?
Yeah. So maybe she's not completely... You know what? They really don't.
Full.
They really don't say how this episode ended. Did she go home? So maybe there was potential there, even with all this happening.
That's okay. All we can do is assume.
All we can do is hope. all we have is hope. When Angela makes the comment about the veal cutlet sub, the Ginger even looks at her and says, maybe you'd gain a pound.
No, that's her saying. Mean. You know, it's her saying she's skinny.
Yes. And Italian people really, I mean, I remember that growing up that all my relatives ever told me was to eat. So the girls decide they're going to clean. If only they could see me now. And the girls decide they're going to go and clean up a bit before they leave. So Angela goes in the kitchen to help them. So when they get in the kitchen, and it's so cute, she brings her little picnic basket in there too. Like, what is she doing? She
didn't want anybody getting to it.
Yeah, she didn't want anybody looking in there to see the wine and cheese and the prophylactics that she brought.
Yes.
So Lynn, when she gets in there, Lynn's like, oh, Tony is so cute. He's still just as cute as he was in high school. They don't assume at all that Tony could possibly be involved with Angela, even though they haven't seen him in years.
Yeah, I mean, they're just saying how cute he is. They're both involved.
Yeah, but she asks Angela if she has a husband. I mean, not quite yet, but almost there. But yeah, just like the feeling I got was that they didn't
think
that he would be with anyone like Angela. Which, of course, why would they, knowing the Tony that they used to know and knowing how relationships work where they're from?
True.
Ginger tells Angela, right before you got here, Tony was telling us how much he missed Brooklyn. And you can tell that Angela takes that in. Like, okay. And Ginger's like, you know, you probably don't know why he would miss Brooklyn, but if you grew up here, then you would know. So Angela asks them, what do you guys do for fun? And she says, we go bowling and we drink beer.
Yeah.
And Angela's like, it sounds pretty good to me. Angela's like, no, when you're not with your husbands. And they say, we go bowling and we drink beer. And then they say, except for when we're pregnant. And Lynn says that she hasn't had beer since 1983.
Oh, poor, because she's been pregnant this whole time.
Yeah. Where are all the other kids she has? She just was able to come
upstairs.
Yeah, come upstairs and go out this night, even though her husband's out of town.
Yeah.
And I think Ginger has some other ones, unless these are supposed to be her first. But I guess that's just what they're trying to depict here. A very stereotypical Brooklyn family is that's what you do. You get married, you stay home and have babies,
right?
And then your husband goes to work.
Barefoot and pregnant.
Yep. And Ginger asks Angela, what does your husband do? And Angela says, oh, well, I'm divorced. So Ginger's like, oh, well, that's why you work. I'm so sorry. But Angela's like, no, I work because I want to work. And they don't really understand that at all.
That's why you work. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
So to them, that's like, oh, that seems...
Yeah, she has to go to work. She's a poor single mom.
Right. And they both kind of give the impression that they might have had some aspirations besides being a stay-at-home mom. But then it's gone in an instant. And Ginger says, you know, I really like, you know, providing and taking care of the kids and letting him go to work, which is totally valid. It's a personal choice.
Yeah.
That's what you want to do. Some days I think, oh, it would be nice not to work. But I think it's just because I'm pretty much a stay-at-home mom already, but I just go to work while they're at school.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, it would be nice to just like only focus on that.
You don't have to do anything.
But I think realistically, if I had done that this whole time, I probably would have gone nuts. Because I wouldn't have been able to be around other people.
Right.
But it seems like they have a good little support system in the building and stuff, and they have friends. So Dennis and Tony are out in the living room. They're yelling for the girls to get ready to go. And so as they're getting ready to leave, they're all going to go together. So Angela's coming along at this point. And as they're getting ready to leave, Angela notices that Fiorello, the cat, is hanging out over by the window. So she opens the window to let the cat out.
Yeah. Okay. I got problems with this.
Yeah. Well, Angela's never met a cat before.
Yeah. Opens the door to let a cat out.
I know.
I don't know. Maybe it's more common in the 80s to have outdoor cats.
Maybe. I mean, yes.
A fire escape.
Some people have outdoor cats.
Figaro. He's gone forever.
Fiorello. I know, like, but we have to have it for this, but...
I know why we have to have it, but it's like, just, oh, we open this window.
Just go out on the streets of Brooklyn.
Enjoy.
Good luck to you. Tony's like, no, and she says, oh, the cat wanted to go out, and then she realizes that the cat was not supposed to go out, and everyone's shaking their head at her.
They all knew.
Yeah. So she's like, okay, well, first Tony volunteers to stay behind, because it's his job to take care of Mrs. Rosini's cat for the weekend. Now, I'm sure Angela wasn't going to go, so maybe he should have stayed behind, and then they could have gotten the plastic out for the couch.
Gotten some work in while they were waiting for Figaro.
Could have gone a different way.
You know, why would they just assume that Fiorello is going to come back?
Because I guess most cats come back. Our cat got out.
I know.
He came back.
He did come back.
Our poor cat.
But he, right, but she's like, there's no panic. Like, we got to go find him.
Right,
find
go
him.
Look for
we
the
are,
cat. Yeah.
No, someone's got to wait here, and we're going to hope he comes back.
Also, what floor are you on? That cat quickly scaled the fire escape and got down.
Yep.
And now I'm just picturing, like, a Disney cartoon, like Lady and the Tramp, when they're all going through the streets and they run into...
Yeah. Little Fiorello is down there.
He's having the time of his life. You're never going to say that. And I don't know if it's
I don't
a girl
know how to say it,
or a boy, actually. I think I was thinking it's a girl, but possibly not.
But anyway, you were going to say our cat did get out. And he
oh my gosh, our cat got out. We didn't realize when we went to let Ronan out one night, he got out behind Ronan. We went to bed.
It's probably me that did it, I'm sure.
Oh, it absolutely was. We went to bed, and then we sleep with airplane sounds. So if he was meowing outside, we had no idea. And at some point, I got up, and our other cat was kind of meowing at the window. And I was like, what are you doing? Go to bed. And then she stopped.
She was trying to tell us that Miles was outside.
So the next morning, I'm drinking my coffee when I hear these meows that are just, like, desperate and sound awful. So I'm like, where on earth is that coming from? Because I'm like, did he lock himself in a closet? And I go to the back window and he's out there and he comes in and he's cold.
Mm.
He's not used to being outside at night.
No, he's not an outdoor cat.
So we looked on our Ring camera and that poor thing just sat in the backyard and cried for like 7 or 8 hours until he got back inside the house. But did he learn his lesson? No.
No.
He's still trying to get back outside. So.
Well, for like 4 days, he didn't try to go out.
Now he was a little shell-shocked.
Yeah,
and
he's back trying to go.
Now he's like,
out.
I think I could try it again. I don't think I really got the full use of that night. Miles' big night out. So yeah, so I guess they just figure that at some point, Fiorello's going to go impregnate or become impregnated by a few cats.
Oh, Jesus.
And then come home like what a cat normally
by
does.
By a few cats.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
No, I know.
I don't know how cats work. Angela says, no. It was me who left the window open, so I'm going to stay with the cat, and you guys go and have fun. And she's like, I'll be fine here, just hanging out at Mrs. Rosini's apartment all by herself.
Sitting on the plastic couch.
Yeah. Well, there's no need for plastic, because nothing's happening.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. It's not already plastic.
And she sees how excited Tony is to go out with his friends and just to be in Brooklyn. So she's willing to take this one. So she goes back in the apartment, lays down. Now, they didn't want to leave the window open when they left because they figured that the place would get robbed. But they were okay. Angela's fine with now still leaving the window open and then completely falling asleep.
Yes, yeah, you know. What are you gonna...
So now she'll be murdered and then the place will still be robbed and the cat will still be gone.
Right. And she rolls over and goes to sleep. And I totally knew where this was going.
Oh, yeah. As soon as you
and
see her.
I don't remember this episode and I knew where this was going.
It doesn't even have, does it have like the Wayne's World kind of fogginess or does it just dissolve?
Well, it does like a dissolve to a subway in Brooklyn.
So it shows.
Very Brooklyn looking.
It shows. That's you would see in the morning.
Passage of time.
Yes, passage of time again. And we see Angela on the couch. Now she's covered by a blanket. You can tell her hair is kind of different, but you don't really know what's happening at first. And then you hear Tony singing from the kitchen, the same song that he was singing at the beginning of the episode.
That's right.
That Mrs. Rosini joined in on. So now she wakes up and she's like, oh, hang on, I overslept. So she gets up and you realize that she's wearing a house coat. And she's very pregnant.
Yes.
So now we're in Angela's dream.
We're in a dream.
Yes. And she's like, oh, okay, hang on. She realizes she has to start making breakfast. So she goes, she starts heading towards the kitchen when Tony comes out of the bedroom. He runs up to her and he starts hugging her and kissing her good morning. And he says, why didn't you come to bed last night? You know I don't sleep well when you're not beside me. So in this version of Tony and Angela, they are married. They live in Brooklyn. She is pregnant. And she says, oh, I didn't come to bed because I was waiting for Fiorello to come back. She goes over to the window and then she starts yelling, Fiorello, you rotten cat.
You rotten cat.
Which is something very Mrs. Rosini would say or Tony's friends. Very Brooklyn. So he says that he has to get he needs breakfast. He wants her to make him breakfast first thing.
That's right.
And he has to get to the fish shop. So he is Mrs. Rosini in this dream because they're getting a shipment in early and he says he'll bring home a nice piece of mackerel for her. And she's like, oh, you don't have to worry about that because I'm making your favorite tonight. I'm making veal cutlets and for dessert, it's cheesecake in your favorite flavor. And he says, what? And she says, me. So then he grabs her.
Yeah. What does that mean?
I think we both know what that means.
Oh, okay. That's pretty dirty.
So then he grabs her and he's like smacking her. This part is so funny because you can kind of tell that they're just sort of like also possibly playing around because they're not used to shooting scenes like this together.
Right.
Because he's smacking her on the butt and he's grabbing her butt. And then he says, they're kissing and stuff. And he says, watch it or you'll have it right here.
Yeah, well, it's like, Jesus.
I know, that's probably the dirtiest thing we've seen on Who's the Boss to date. It's almost as if he just ad-libbed that, or...
I know. And then Mona comes in.
I'd be curious to see if that was really in the script, because I'm surprised that they would think that was going to get past...
I know.
...censors. So then Mona comes out, and she sees them making out, and Mona looks ridiculous. But not only does Mona look ridiculous...
Apparently, she's dying with all the coughing.
But she does, like, this looks like my grandmother looked when I was a child, and my grandmother lived in Brooklyn. So I know this is all a stereotype, but this was a stereotype that hit close to home for me.
Yeah.
She's got the house coat on.
Yeah.
And the hair in the net with whatever was going on underneath grandma's hair.
Yeah,
at night that you just didn't ask about and you just didn't know. So she comes out and she sees them making out and she's like, you know what? There's more to life than just sex. And so now that's the joke coming back from earlier in the episode.
Where Mona actually says.
Yes. And that.
No, well, I'm sorry.
Wait, Angela says it, right?
Angela actually says
it. Angela says it and then Mona says you're not doing it right. And now this version of Mona, this Brooklyn has not been kind to this version of Mona.
No, the hacking and I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. She's coughing a lot. I don't know why. Why is Mona sick in Brooklyn? Like, why would Mona still, I guess she just, if Mona was an Italian Brooklyn grandma, this is what she would be instead of the Mona that she is.
Yes, an elderly person.
So she needs some kind of itch scratched, and Angela gets Tony to do it, and he really doesn't want to at first. But then she makes some comment about him smelling like fish. So these two don't get along as much as Tony and Mona do. The doorbell rings, and there's Mrs. Rossini. Now, this Mrs. Rossini is still going on a cruise, just like the real Mrs. Rossini.
Yes,
her life hasn't changed at all. She's going to Hawaii, I think, a singles cruise in Hawaii. So now Mrs. Rossini looks much more like the Mona that we're used to seeing. And Mona looks like my grandmother.
Oh, right. I see. That actually makes sense. It's like the roles are reversed.
Right. But Mona still doesn't like Mrs. Rossini in this version either.
Right.
There's always going to be competition between these two. Tony tells Mrs. Rossini he has something for her, and he hands her a rent check. So she must own the building, and they live in this apartment. And Angela comes over, and she says, my perfect provider. Mm. So this is very much going back to what the girls were saying in the kitchen about how the guy provides for the wife, and then the wife just continues to have children. When Mrs. Rossini leaves, Tony lays into Mona about being mean to her, and she doesn't care. But then she says, you know who I would never be mean to? My beautiful daughter, which is very different than the Mona that we know also. But it is funny because it's Angela's dream. So in Angela's dream, this old, elderly, possibly going to die soon, Mona loves her and is never mean to her. So she starts hacking again and it wakes up the baby. So not only is she pregnant, and they still have Jonathan and Samantha, but they have two babies in the room.
Baby somewhere.
And I love how on TV, like, people just get up in the morning and it's been, what, a good 5 minutes before she's even had to go. Like, nobody's baby sleeps later than they do.
Right, exactly.
She would have been woken up by those kids screaming. So she asks Mona, will you go in and check on the kids? And Mona just walks over the door and screams, Grandma is here. And then they quiet down immediately. They're
immediately quiet.
Mona starts hacking again. And then the kids come out of their room. And Jonathan and Samantha look very different.
Well, they look very Brooklyn.
Very Brooklyn. Jonathan has slick back hair. Samantha has red lipstick. And Tony's like, what is it with you two with the red lipstick? and every day there's more and more grease in your hair.
More and more grease.
And Jonathan says, why do you think they call me Slick? And then Tony makes some joke about how, like, he's going to hit him or something for that. So I was wondering, like, a Slick, a different term? Like, really, they call him that because he steals or something?
Oh, I don't, yes.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it had, like, some other Brooklyn meaning that I just didn't understand. Because he makes it seem like Jonathan's saying something worse than, they call me Slick because there's oil in my hair. So Angela thinks that her children are beautiful. She's like,
I know, it's hilarious. Yeah.
She's like, you guys look great. And she says, you look like you could be you could be a model for some kind of hair gel. So then she comes up with a slogan real quick. And the kids are like, hey, that's great, Mom. And it's really cute to see Samantha call Angela Mom and to see Jonathan call Tony Pops.
Yeah, Pops.
And so she tries to show Tony, like, look at the great slogan I just came up with real fast. And he just wants his breakfast. So she goes back into the kitchen to start making breakfast. And in this version, the kids get along and Jonathan's very cool because...
Yeah, like she thinks Jonathan's cool, yeah. Which is really unusual.
Backwards but again, it's world. Angela's dream. So it's so funny that,
that's true. Yeah.
That she's, you know, excited to get a ride with Jonathan to school instead of how it normally is, where he wants a ride from Samantha and she makes him sit in the back seat. Angela comes out of the kitchen and she wants to talk to Tony about something. So he's like, okay, well, let's go to our usual spot. So their usual spot is on the fire escape.
Of course.
And there's a funny part where he's trying to get her out the window.
I know. It's funny.
And her butt's just filling up a lot of the, her pregnant butt's filling up a lot of the screen. So they get out onto the fire escape and they sit down and he's like, what do you want to talk to me about? She tells him, I want to go to night school. And I want to go and get a career and maybe work in advertising or something like that. But Tony says, you know, that's no life for you. Like, who's going to take care of all the kids? Like,
right.
What am I going to do? Am I going to clean the house? Am I going to cook all the meals? And then he makes a joke of, oh, picture that, me a housekeeper.
I know. It's funny.
And she just kind of quiets down. And you can think that this possibly could be a conversation that Ginger and Lynn have had with their own husbands at some point. And we're just told, like, no, who's going to take care of the kids if you go get a job? And they let it go. So Angela's kind of dreaming about what that life must be like. Then she looks over and she sees the cat. And she's like, oh, Fiorello.
Oh, Fiorello.
You rotten cat. And she picks it up. And right then.
Rotten cat.
She wakes up. But luckily, she wakes up back in Mrs. Rossini's apartment. She is not pregnant, and she looks pretty relieved. She grabs her stomach, and she's like, oh, good, thank goodness. And Tony's back. So how long do you think either that was a very fast bowling outing, or she just, like, completely knocked out on the couch. She slept for, like, what, 4 hours? So she...
Yeah. Yeah, that... To dream that much, yeah, to have that long of a...
Oh, yeah, that's true. I guess you'd have to get into REM sleep. But he probably also was... Well, first of all, it's a sitcom. But also,
exactly.
He probably wasn't out that long because he was worried about her being back at the apartment all by herself and the cat being gone.
Yeah, but you need at least a couple hours to bowl a couple games.
Yeah,
you know?
I would think so. And to eat the veal cutlets.
The veal cutlets, yeah.
It's cute because he brought her back a sandwich. But he says that he had it smothered in tofu instead of mozzarella, which he calls mozzarella.
Mozzarella, which sounds gross to me.
That does sound gross because I don't think tofu...
Why are we smothering tofu? It's more of a...
A meat substitute.
So you're smearing a meat substitute on top of a meat.
Doesn't make sense. But it was the 80s.
But the 80s, and I'm probably like, oh, tofu is really healthy. Like,
right.
I mean...
Meanwhile, we've seen Angela pack some stuff away.
Right.
She's never
been afraid
of cheese
all of a sudden.
Before. Yeah.
Yeah.
Angela asks to talk to Tony. So she says, let's go to our usual spot. He's like,
oh, yeah. Okay.
What is our usual spot in Mrs. Rossini's house?
Right.
And she's like, you know, the fire escape. So they go out on the fire escape and he sits down on the wrong side. And she's like, no, you got to go over there. So he's like, okay. He stands up and goes over to the other side. Yeah. So she asks him how the night went, and he says it was great. He said they had a lot of fun bowling. He was joking that Ginger, every time Dennis would go to shoot, or what do you call it? When you
Bowl, I guess.
I guess, yeah. That Ginger would yell that she was having a contraction. And Angela's like, that was a rotten trick. And Tony's like, yeah, I'm really glad I thought of it. So they're having a good time. And she says, you know, Ginger and Dennis seem like a lot of fun. And he's like, yeah, they're a great couple. And she, you can tell she's testing him here. She's like, so, you know, maybe that's kind of how things should be. Like the husband works and the wife stays home and provides for the family, or not provides for the family, but takes care of the family.
Right, right.
But Tony says, no, I mean, that's kind of narrow-minded, because he's thinking, you're telling that to someone who cleans a house for a living and takes care of your children. And he says, right. But you can tell that she just kind of is really sort of trying to feel out here if that's really what he wants.
Right, seeing if he really wants to be in Brooklyn with a pregnant woman, wife all the time.
Or just if he's going to feel like he needs to be the provider for the household, or if he would be happy not being the provider
for the household. Right.
And he says, you know, what's wrong with the husband staying home and the wife going to work? He's like, or maybe, you know, the husband could work in the morning and then he comes home and has lunch with his wife. And then the wife goes to work from 2 to 6. He has it all planned out there. And Antenna TV cut all of this part out too, which I thought was really cute to leave in, because it just kind of shows how much Tony has really thought about it.
Yeah, possibly. Right, right.
So you can tell Angela's happy with all of his answers. And she looks down, and just like the dream,
Ferrulio is in his
back. Fiorello.
Fiorello.
And she says, you rotten cat. And he picks her up, and he's like, rotten cat? Uh-huh. And he says, maybe you do have a little Brooklyn in you.
Oh, I guess you can, you want a little Tony in you now?
I was going to say, that is the setup for that horrible joke where they say no, and you say, do you want some?
Right.
Yeah.
But I guess people say rotten. In Brooklyn?
I have no idea. I guess so.
All right.
I only lived there till I was 3, so I'm not sure. Okay.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, I guess, I think we, I don't know that we saw Ginger or Lynn say it earlier. There was a lot of eat glass going on, which I guess.
Yeah, eat glass.
In this time was a big Brooklyn saying for this show. So they get the cat. The cat goes back inside. Tony goes back inside, and Angela looks at him and says, honey bunny. Because did they say that to each other in the dream? I think so. Yes. When they were probably making out.
Yes.
On the couch. I mean, on the dining room table. Dining room chair.
Where they almost
where, watch it, or you're going to get it right here.
Who's the boss? We'll be back in a moment. Stick around.
In the tag, Tony and Angela are sitting out on the fire escape again. This time, not in the we need to have a serious talk, but just kind of like hanging over the railing and looking out. And Angela's looking at all the lights, and she's like, it's so just pretty here. And he says, all those lights are cop cars.
I know. Like she wouldn't be able to tell.
Right. Then he asks, or she asks if she wants more coffee, and they're at a creamer, and then all of a sudden, creamer gets thrown up from the apartment below. So I guess Dennis is just hanging out there with the creamer just in his hand.
Listening in.
Yeah. Ready. And so Angela's like, I love Brooklyn. And then that is the end of the episode. I have no idea who went first or second last time with rating. So I can just go first if you want.
No, I'll go first.
Okay, you go.
Because I don't want to be influenced by your rating.
Oh, okay. No.
I actually gave this episode a 7.5.
Nice.
I actually liked it. I liked the sitcom-y dream sequence feel of it. I always liked that kind of stuff with the sitcoms back in the 80s. Like in what, you know, showing, what if this and what if that, and, you know, what if life was like this, and not that it would have ended up that way. Like, how would he have met Angela, but then they lived in an apartment in Brooklyn. But, like the what ifs, and it had kind of like an, you know, I Love Lucy kind of feel to it.
Oh, yeah, that's
like
true.
Like a flashback kind of a thing, or a different.
Yeah, and even just kind of like their relationship with each other.
Right.
Was kind of like that.
Right. I liked that that aspect of it. The two pregnant, you know, women and the friend that we've never met before. But yes. You know, he knows them all in the neighborhood.
Right.
They come, you know, I thought it was an entertaining episode. It was different. It was away from the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's always nice to see other sets and just different, like kind of different stories. So yeah, I gave it a 7.5.
Nice. I even gave this one a little higher and went with an 8, which I think could be one of my highest ratings.
I can't ever remember an 8.
The highest. I'm sure there's one where they've made out and I gave it an 8. But I think it's just that classic 80s sitcom one.
Exactly.
It is really entertaining. It's a complete story, which is nice. It has a lot of callbacks to jokes from earlier and stuff, which are cute. And yeah, and then we got to see Angela and Tony make out more than we really have ever in their actual lives.
Yeah, and they even, got the kids in here.
So. Yes, and the kids were super cute in it. And and Mona is hilarious. So yeah, I just really liked it.
Who is the boss around here, me or my mother? Or maybe it's you?
I went with Angela as the boss for this episode.
Oh, okay.
I think first she decides that she's going to go visit Tony in Brooklyn. She decides they're going to go have sex, and then that doesn't happen.
Yes, no.
Then she lets the cat out, so she takes the lead and says, you know what, I'll stay here and I'll wait for the cat to come back. Then obviously the whole middle part is her dream. And then when she wakes up wondering about what that dream meant to her, she goes ahead and just asks Tony basically outright, like, what is it that you're looking for in a relationship? Is it that? I mean, not outright, but in a way to get his opinion on it. And yeah, that's it. I think it's Angela.
Okay. I think it was little Ferrellio. Because
that's true.
If he wouldn't have left.
Fiorello was the boss.
Right. He kind of drove the ship.
He was like, you know what? Someone's having sex tonight and it's not me. Yeah. So I'm going out.
A lot of it. I agree. I think it was Angela as well. Just basically, on the points that you made, that she, took it upon herself to go out there, thinking, well, we're going to be alone in Mrs. Rosini's apartment. Yeah. And then, of course, it took a turn, as usual. she had her little basket. Like, she had a whole little thing planned.
Yeah, she had something planned.
And then, she had the dream and just kind of like the what if type of dream. And kind of could see in her mind how it would be if they lived in Brooklyn. And then I think she got some, they got a little bit closer, and as a result, I mean, they didn't get as close as I think she was hoping.
We don't know what happened after the creamer with the coffee and the fire escape.
That's true. We don't.
Maybe
we don't.
She spent the night.
Maybe she did.
We know she didn't, but there could be fanfic out there that can fill that in if anybody wants to.
I agree.
All right. Well, you can reach us at Who's the Boss Podcast on Instagram. Who's the Boss Pod 1 on Twitter. On Facebook, our page is the Who's the Boss Podcast page. Or go to anchor.fm/WTB podcast, and there you can send us a voice message. Next episode we're going to cover is called Sam's Novel Romance. And I have to admit that I don't really remember this one that much, so it's going to be almost new to me as well.
Oh, all right.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
If you like this podcast, please subscribe. And give a big thumbs up. And tell all your friends. And maybe you can tell your grandma, your mother, and your sister or brother. Maybe have no siblings. Tell your dog and cats. Bye.